So here we are.
Here we are. Everyone doing well?
Okay.
Well, I have some aches and pains, right?
I turned my ankle yesterday. You shouldn't ask us.
But who I really am is always good. Selfless self is always good.
Indeed.
Yeah. But yeah, that's, I did want to mention that because, you know, aches and pains do come with the body. We're not identified with the body. However, we have to deal with the body in terms of the maintenance and the doctoring or physical or medicines and all.
Absolutely.
I guess some people feel that if you have a certain level of consciousness that your body is going to be always in perfect shape. I just talked to a spiritual friend in Hawaii whose mother-in-law has been a spiritual teacher all her life, and she's 103 and she's never been sick a day in her life, but she is preparing to make what they call the transition, although she's not sick or never has been sick ever. But some people feel that if the consciousness at a certain level, there is no sickness. What do you think of that?
This is a food body, five elemental body, and there's disturbance in the five elements. That is what it is. You're not identified with the body, but the body's still there. And it's part of the five elements. As far as being sick or not being sick, now you're not taking the sickness as I am sick, but the body is going to go through whatever it goes through. And to sit there and somehow say that you're in an elevated state and that these things are not affecting the body, you have nothing to do with the body at all. Like nothing at all. So it's not like, okay, I know myself and now my body is going to never get sick and it's going to heal faster and all these sort of things. No, because the body is not, it's your instrument. It's your car. And some people, they buy a car and it drives forever and no problems. Some people buy a car, it breaks down sometimes. Some people buy a car and it's breaking down all the time. But this is just the vehicle. And it has nothing to do with like past karma or, you know, because I was so good in my past life, I have this good body in this life and I can live to be 105 or whatever. It's nothing to do with this. Again, you're not even this body that you believe yourself to be. Even if you believe yourself not to be that body, you're that's prior to the concept of world and body. There's a limited identification for a time as this is me. And then even when you know yourself in a real sense, this body is available. But then you know that, okay, so all the bodies are available. Like that same presence is in every being, moving all the beings around. Mm-hmm. And there's no birth, no death. There's no, you know, because from the concept of, oh, my consciousness is so very risen that I don't get sick and all this kind of stuff. But you're also the baby that's starving in Africa. And you're the people in the Ukraine getting bombed and all this terrible stuff. You're all of those. And you're the ones doing the bombing, too. But yeah. You're the bombed and the bombers.
Yeah.
But you,
yes.
So to say, that's definitely identification with a body form, to say my consciousness has risen to such a point that I will decide when I leave this body type thing.
Yes.
There's definitely identification with a body because you're caught up in this concept that you somehow have a super body.
Yes, I think that's true.
Wait, it is because you're not body, and you could identify with this body, or you could identify with your neighbor's body or the body downstairs, because you're all of those. That's why when this one goes, okay, so what?
Yeah.
Because you never were this limited one. You're the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
In the orchestra, if they have 20 first violin, or, you know, maybe not first, because I guess first is just one. So let's say 20 violinists and one calls in sick, it may sound different to the trained ear, but it's not really doing anything to the orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And this body, here or not, makes no difference. That's why you know yourself in a real sense, so you can escape this concept of birth and death and body. And yet, of course, just like your car, if your car started acting up, you don't just say, well, throw that car away. No, you take it in, you get it maintenanced, or even worse, if you ignore the signs, especially in a car, if it starts squeaking and you're like, turn up the radio so I don't hear the squeaking, and, you know, maybe I'll drive, and the squeaking is something happening to this vehicle. So this vehicle, when something is happening to it, you go in and get it fixed, because right now you're using it. But when it's no longer available, okay, well, now the whole world is me. And there won't be a knowledge of a separate existence. There'll just be existence existing quite nicely, with or without the limited body form that you thought yourself to be.
Yeah.
You blow up a balloon and there's air in the balloon. And now we say, okay, the air is trapped inside this balloon. You puncture the balloon and boom, the air goes. But was the air ever really trapped? No, it was inside and outside the balloon. The concept of the balloon is what created the appearance of duality, the appearance of air and the balloon. Because there was an object within the air, we say, oh, the air is inside the balloon, but the balloon is actually inside the air. And presence is similar. In this way, presence is in everything, because presence, this sense of existence, created a world spontaneously. Boom. Just as in the dream. And it's not your... See, that's where, like, a lot of folks are saying, like, okay, when I am sitting, I created this world. No, the world is created from the presence that you are, not from this limited perspective of body. This body is a phenomenon within this. It can't do anything independently of its own self. So it's not like this is arising from you. Even when you lay down to sleep, it's only because you forget you're a body that it then has a dream, because you have existence, sense of existence, and a dream world is projected. But you've laid down to sleep, so you forget about this concept of being a body, and thus a dream world is projected. Of course, it's formless. But you don't sit there and say, oh, like it's not a... it's the consciousness creating continuously. This concept of an individual consciousness came along with the body, and we view consciousness as being in here, because we view ourselves as body. So the thought process and all of this is going on in here. When you know yourself in a real sense, the consciousness is the world you're seeing and interacting in every day. As a limited something, with other limited somethings. But it's all one thing. And like Maharaj says, take care of the body. And you don't want to torture the body, because there are many people who think that torturing the body is the way to spirituality, because they're, look at how much exertion and stress and pressure and pain I can put on this body, because I am this self. Well, that's kind of a little bit nonsensical too. Like the people, as Maharaj says, who stand in the Ganges River on one leg until the river has like worn them down, basically. Or the people who walk around Arunachala continuously around and around and around in a circle.
Right.
Where they climb the mountains and they do all this sort of thing because they're torturing the body in the belief that somehow that will release this concept of individuality and this concept that I am a body, because look what I'm willing to put my body through. And this is also, you're not this body that you're doing all this stuff with. So it's kind of, as Maharaj says, it's kind of nonsensical because it is, and I hate to use a nonsensical term because there'll be people who watch this video and say, well, if you walk this way or you do this, and okay, you can do these things, it's very nice. But the truth is, when you know yourself in a real sense, why torture the body? Just to try and detach yourself from the concept that I am a body. Just remain with yourself. Much nicer. No need for airfare or walking or stress or nothing. Just sit here with your own self with self. Just die.
And if you don't, a lot of times I don't immediately feel that connection to be able to just sit as myself. I guess that's where mantra comes in, because it does break the momentum and it makes that possible, at least for that to appear on its own, kind of. It's not like you're doing it, but the mantra helps you get out of the way, sort of, I guess.
Like Maharaj says, the woman comes home and wishes to cook dinner, and all the children are running around. So she gives them some toys. Now they're busy with these toys. She can concentrate on cooking dinner. And this is the same. Mind is, you're concentrating on this mind, you're watching these flow of thoughts, and then you're having the thought, oh, I'm trying to meditate and these thoughts are coming. Oh, so much thoughts. No. Let's give the mind some toys, meaning the mantra. And the mind is busy reciting mantra while you are recognizing your own selfless self. The recognition and the projection is deepening, because you're no longer concentrated on what the mind is doing, because you've given it a task, mantra. And that's why it's the best. It's a direct method. Because all the sadhana in the world, you know, or siva, selfless service, or any of these sort of things, you're going to take the sense of doership. Mm-hmm. But with mantra, you're not. With mantra, you're actually giving away the doership. You go, okay, I am Brahman, Brahman I am, Soham, Shivoham, whatever mantra is, just keep running. And it's erasing slowly, silently, and permanently all the illusory thoughts, all the layers of illusion that are covering your presence, which of course are not really covering your presence. It's just that you're paying attention to the layers of illusion rather than to the presence that you are. And once again, remember, the only time you're going to feel the presence is within the body-based illusion through the concept of duality. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of, you could say, the reason. If people say, well, why do we live? Well, the reason, you can know yourself, you have this body form, you can know yourself in a real sense. Mm-hmm. Only in the illusion. Because the sense of presence was the primary illusion, the first illusion, this I exist. That created a whole world. Within the world, there's a little body form that's identified with a label, and you say, this is me. And then I exist is now from the I exist as all the universe to I exist as this little Keith or this little John. And then I worry about what happens when this little John dies. But little John is a projection from the presence, or the original kind of, they call it Maya, but the original I exist sense of existence. Boom. Again, just like in dream, you can really understand yourself so well if you have to do it a little bit intellectually with a dream, because you're laying down and you're sleeping. Oh, peacefully sleeping. You forget your body, you forget the world, you forget everything. And now you're in a state of like absolute no being or being, until suddenly a sense of being arises, I exist, and the dream world is projected instantaneously, spontaneously. And now you're a little limited character in the dream that's moving around. You appear to be separate. Everyone that you're conversing with in your dream appears to be separate. There appears to be conversation, action, motion, doership. The people in your dream are doing things. If you ask them, oh, what are you doing? They'll gladly say what they're doing. So this all came formlessly because of a sense of existence. You're all the world. The entire universe is a projection on your spontaneous presence. Now, when you wake up from this dream, you say, oh, I had a very good dream. I had a very bad dream. Very visual, very vivid. Even we talked, sometimes you would like to take things out of your dream, which of course you can't. But at the time, it really looks like you could. You know, you may wake up. That's why some people will say, oh, my dream was so real. It must have been dreaming of a past life, or I was in a separate universe, or something like this. Because there's no explanation to how this just appears. It's the same with this waking dream world. There's no explanation for this appearance. It's a little limited forms are moving about, believing that they're individuals. And when one's gone, it really makes no difference to the whole universal something. And that's why a lot of the teachers will say, my individual consciousness merges with universal consciousness. But in reality, universal consciousness was believing itself to be the air in the balloon for a time.
Fortunately, I don't have to, when I wake up in the morning, I don't really have to go anywhere or do anything. So I can just kind of review the feeling of what my dream might have been like this morning. I could tell I had a dream, and the dream was kind of like indicating something about existence, that that there was something that I felt I could sense, but I couldn't particularly, I couldn't get a clear reproduction of what the dream was to be able to put it into to objectify the dream. But I did get a sense of that the dream was sort of pointing to something that it was nothing in particular, the message of the dream basically was, your mind is able to find a sense of nothing being particular. And anyway, somehow that, when I noticed that was sort of the message of the dream, then I realized, well, the things that I think are particular is all has to do with identification, either identification of me being something or identification of something being something. And then so I
would throw all that away. And when you wake up in the morning, if you have some time, there's a just I feeling, remain with that. Forget about the dream, it's illusory. And forget about waking up into the world, because it's illusory. But the one thing that is sort of kind of the truth, because it's the doorway to your own self, is when you wake up in the morning, you just sit, just I, just that subtle sense of presence. Forget the dream, it's illusion. Forget the world that you're about to walk
into. What I'm saying, though, is it made it possible for me to just sit with myself. That message, just it made it me able to recognize that I am not any of the identifications, but I am that which is able to identify, which can't really be explained. So I did get, I think, a valuable message from it.
Okay.
It helped me to be aware.
The best thing, if as you're rising in the morning, there is a time where there's nothing. The world hasn't started yet, and the dream world has just ended, and it's just this nothingness. It's just I. Even as your eyes are awake and you're seeing, just I. Just sit on the side of the bed and just be there. Just I. Any thoughts try to come in? No. Just I. Just the sense of presence. We don't want to give anything to mind, because mind is illusion. And mind will only want to explain things that are illusion. Mm-hmm. And it can explain long time, years, the illusion. So you... I mean, it's like Maharaj says, it's progressive steps, but just to know that, disregard everything. You wake up first thing in the morning, if you have time to just kind of sit around before you have to do your day, just sit. Maybe you don't even sit on the side of the bed. You just sit up in bed and breathe and just be with yourself. Just die. Nothing. Just die. No thought, just die. Just try this, maybe a little bit. Because this is,
I did notice that as time went on in the afternoon, that sense of presence became... It started to wash everything away.
Like, yes. Well, yeah. Presence is the black hole that will suck in illusion.
Mm-hmm. And it became like almost like a dominant force.
This is good.
Still remaining, you know.
This is good. Absolutely. That's why in the morning you contact yourself and you remain with that. And even when you do get kind of lost in something, you can always know that you are the background of every experience and just go right there. Oh, okay. So that I am that. No need to worry about anything.
And it almost seems like, you know, I talk about going to bliss sometimes, and usually there's more of a sense of like a flow and movement there. But now it's almost becoming more like a solidity or something.
Because when you're contacting your formlessness and you're remaining in that presence and the body is moving, you absolutely know that you're formless. Like, you start to lose even the concept that there's anything behind the eyes that are seeing. And speaking isn't going through the whole rigmarole of how it's going to sound or what is going to be said. It's just flowing. Everything is flowing. But you're, and I think Maharaj has said this, you're the center and everything's moving around you. You're just, the scenes are appearing and disappearing. You're remaining with yourself. You have no concept of body, no concept other than, of course, getting dressed and, okay, I have put on my clothes and now I'm going off to wherever I'm going. But there's no need to be something, even while you're dressing, brushing your teeth, showering, You don't have to put on like a identification of someone doing something. It's just a flow, a natural flow. And so as you go through the day, you remain with that, absolutely. And the more you do that, you're basically training this whole concept of mind. I really don't want to tune into your channel anymore. It's just nonsense and boring. I want to remain with myself. And that's the time when the heat gets turned up. And when the heat gets turned up, then there'll be like, well, look at me dancing and all this stuff. No, no, no. I just remain with myself. Look at me over here. No, just remain with myself. And that's how you're, that's a selfless self-intoxication.
Yeah. That is interesting, that you mentioned dancing. That's one of my favorite things to do. My back is messed up, so I can't do it that much, but I still can. And while I'm dancing, it kind of loosens up for a while. So, I have to admit, I'm a very good dancer. I'm very confident in my ability to move my body and not do it in a way that I don't even know what my next dance move is going to be. So that makes it even more entertaining to me. But when I do that, I get, there's also like an ego thing there that says that after the fact, people noticed that I was a good dancer or something. And that it kind of spoils the whole thing, really. But I forget the exact point I was trying to make was, the ego is, or the thought process is still gonna take some kind of ownership of the dance. And so I guess you just have to, you know, let it do it, you know.
Well, when you know yourself in a real sense, that's what I'm saying. The TV of the mind is no longer entertaining. Yeah. It no longer is like something that's worth watching. The flow of thoughts is no longer like, oh, let me think this thought, or oh, look at this, let me do this. No, it's not like that.
I guess I'm saying it'd be nice if I could dance without having that ego try to possess it or something.
Well, you're not body. And this is when Maharaj says too, the problem with this subtle ego and trying to build this subtle ego in any way, shape, or form is you will be built up just like Maharaj who said, people around you, miracles may be being performed. They may start to feel really, really good. There may be something. And you'll take credit. Oh, look at the way I am, how I am so spiritual that it's flowing through me. Mm-hmm. And then it doesn't. Yeah. It comes a time it doesn't. Yeah. Because that's the whole game of giving something over to the false egoistic projection, is that you somehow believe you're the doer. You get wrapped mm-hmm. up in the doership. Mm-hmm. And that's like even before spirituality, you flip a coin. Sometimes things worked out in your favor and sometimes they didn't. Mm-hmm. But your egoistic sense of self was more than happy to say, look at me. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. when things were not going the way that you thought they should be going, then there has to be someone to blame because it can't be me. And there you're caught. You're caught in illusion.
The pride thing comes in. You lose your humility.
If you're talking about dancing and then you're such an excellent dancer, then this is, number one, still identification with body, still identification with doership. And the basic thing to get rid of that is all praise to you, my master. You took possession of this body and moved it around on the dance floor. And you don't even have to say, just like in my everyday life, people will say, oh, you did so good this, or you did so good that, or thank you. I may say thank you to them, but in myself, I say thank you, Master. Mm-hmm. Just like Maharaj would say, without Nisargadatta Maharaj, he could not speak a single word. His master. The same is here. Without my master, this body wouldn't speak, nor would yours. So I'm not doing anything. Therefore, if I take credit for things I'm not doing, I'm kind of a thief. And the thief is going to get caught eventually. That I'm not doing that I'm taking credit for, then we'll get the illusory concept of karma. And then when something bad happens, I say, oh, this is because of my karma. And you're lost. Know yourself in a real sense. Take all the body knowledge, throw it away, because it got you to where you are right now, to know yourself. So you don't need to read spiritual books or do any spiritual practice.
I could consider
with yourself.
If I'm considering myself an individual, I could consider myself really lucky, because I've gone through life never feeling comfortable with a sense of self. And that has enabled me to get here and have a chance to really go beyond.
You know? Okay. But always, you can immediately take no credit when you think of the dream.
Right.
Tonight in your dream, maybe you're a rock star on stage. Your songs are amazing. The people in the audience are loving you. And then you wake up and you say, well, I was so talented, right, on the stage. But now it's not the same. So where was the talent that I was taking credit for? It was a momentary, spontaneous appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a momentary, spontaneous appearance. For a time, you believe yourself as a limited something that can be a great dancer, that can do all these wonderful things. But after this body's gone, where's that great dancer? That great dancer is still there because it was the presence that was moving the body.
Mm-hmm.
But Keith is gone. John is gone. I say me too, because I don't want you to think I'm like picking on you. Keith is dead and buried. And John is in the ground, dead and buried. But John and Keith are five elemental lumps of goo. And aren't John and Keith?
That reminds me of what I was talking about. You were saying that the T kind of like existed, and I was thinking, well, the T doesn't really exist. I don't know if you remember that couple weeks ago, but you said something about the T existing. And basically, it's like I exist as much as anything, and anything exists as much as me, because there's really, it's just one master being that is anything at all, I guess.
There's just one projection. And that projection is all false, based on one false concept, I exist, and creating the concept of duality. That's it. But that to whom this I exist has appeared exists. Now creates this projection and exists as everything. And you could say, okay, John's body is gone. And we've seen, okay, somebody we know, they die. We go to their service and all of that. And we can't say, oh, the world just ended immediately. Like, it's just the presence is no longer animating this body, but it's still working in all the other bodies.
Yeah.
So when this body is no more, someone will come and say, oh, look at this tea. Let me have this tea. And that someone will be my own self.
Mm-hmm. So nothing really goes anywhere.
And that's why they say, you say, you, the world came after you. but that's not you, this.
Yeah, right.
This is just a little part of the world, a little icon, so to speak. The you that you are is prior to the world, and everything within the world is in the illusion.
You mean I'm an emoji?
You're nothing. Pretending to be something, and only for a time. Just like Maharaj said, on the stage. Right now on the stage, the presence is pretending to be each one of us. And then when the curtain closes, it opens back up, and there are some less people, and then opens back up, and there are some less, but no one was born, no one's dying. The actors are just no longer playing their part. But the actor, the one actor, is playing all the parts. That's why this concept of heaven and hell and all this kind of stuff doesn't make sense, other than to be a dream world. Mm-hmm. You know, perhaps the concept of a dream world in your dream. And that's only because of the fear that this body is you and won't be anymore. Mm-hmm. You will be gone. No, you will not be gone. You will just no longer be in the form that you believe yourself to be in, but you're not in that form now. The world is within you. You are not in the world. You appear to be in the world because it's an appearance. I think they talk about like the moon on the lake. It's a reflection. The reflection of the knowledge of existence creates the world that appears before you. But it's nothing.
Representation.
Yeah, it's a show. Oh, it says we have remaining time, 1 minute, 15 seconds.
I just saw that. I told you you had 10 minutes.
That's something new they're giving us.
Yeah, that is something new. And it did. It flashed up and said something, and I didn't pay attention because Keith was saying something, and then it went away, so I didn't get to read it. Now it says less than a minute.
It didn't used to alert us about no, when it didn't. We were going to dissolve.
That's giving you your chance for this famous, fabulous last thing of you're going to say.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Master Clock.
Yeah.
Well, think of this. When it ends, you just left the body.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye. Okay. Hi, kitty. Bye.
Well, maybe it's not going to shut off, though. Maybe it's...
Yeah, exactly. See?